I am your interim pastor. I'm here to walk through this time with you and hold your hand and encourage you as best I can and bring the word to you and prepare you and help you to find God's man, the next pastor to come. And in light of that, I want you to turn to 1 Peter, if you would, please. Tonight, we're going to pick up our new series in the book of James. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's the most unreasonable passage in Scripture. Joy and trials? Man, I've been there. Anyway, that's tonight. This morning, because of the time in our church, our pastoral search committee is active and busy and wading through things and discussing things and praying about things, and the Lord is bringing certain resumes or people to be considered, and maybe before long at some point you'll have some man to consider. But how will you evaluate them? What are you looking for? Well, 1 Peter speaks something very much to this generation in this church. He's addressing a church that was living in tough time. It was going through a perilous and a dangerous time as a church. They were scattered. And so Peter reminds them, first of all, what the church is, and then he reminds them of what the pastor is to be. If you have 1 Peter chapter 5, let me read first four verses. Therefore, Peter says, I exhort the elders among you. So we're going to listen in to what the Holy Spirit told Peter to tell the elders in the church. He's going to give them their job description, and it'll be well for you to know what is it you are looking for in a man, in the next pastor. So I exhort you elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to you or entrusted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you didn't leave us without direction. We're not having to figure our way through things that you've already laid down, what we need to know as we would search for that one that would be the pastor of this church. So help us to understand your word today and to guide ourselves in this search by your word. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. So two simple points that we'll cover very briefly and quickly. First of all, the characteristics of the sheep. That's the church. And secondly, the characteristics of the shepherd. That's the pastor. I want you to remember that these people were very familiar with this analogy of sheep. We have to study it. Unless you were born on a farm, you don't know a whole lot about sheep. I wasn't raised on a farm, but I had enough sense to marry a farm girl. So anyhow, he begins by saying that God's people are like sheep. He talks about the flock. We're like sheep. That's not all that complimentary a comparison. But Psalm 100 says, we are his people and sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. So if God's people are like sheep, and the church then is like a flock, Jesus said in Matthew 12, don't be afraid, little flock. So that comparison is used throughout the Bible. We are like sheep. The church is like the sheepfold. And then if the church is like a flock, the pastor is to be a shepherd. The primary duty of the elder that we're going to talk about today is the shepherd. Elder, the shepherd of the flock. And so verse 4 tells us that Jesus is the chief shepherd to whom this shepherd one day is going to have to give an account and say, Lord, this is what I did with your flock. And that's what keeps me on my knees and studying the word. So first of all, let's think about the sheep, that is you and me, ourselves. as the flock of God. And there's three characteristics I want to cover very quickly. Three characteristics. Sheep are wayward animals. I mean, that's, the Bible could have said we're brave as lions, or that we're beautiful as peacocks, or that we're graceful like a gazelle, but it says, no, we're like sheep. Well, what are sheep like? Well, he says they're wayward. I'm told, don't take offense, but I'm told that they're sort of dim-witted. They're sort of dumb. I mean, I've heard of a trained dog, a trained cat, even a trained flea, but I never heard of a trained sheep. Maybe you have. But you know why he says that? 1 Peter 2:25, you look over back the page there, for you were continually straying like sheep. Sheep have a tendency to stray. But now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. God has done something to protect you. And so Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. So I'm just showing sheep have that tendency to go astray. They get distracted. They nibble the grass here and they nibble it there and they follow the green grass on out until they don't know how to get back to the sheepfold or the shepherd. And so they're wayward. Second thing, sheep are weak. A sheep has no way to protect itself. It's not fit for fight nor fight. Flight nor fight. Can't run, can't fight. You know, a dog can bite. A horse can run. A cat can scratch. A dog, well, I said a dog, but a skunk, you know what a skunk can do. So, you know, but a sheep, he can't do anything. He's just not built for that type of a thing. So they're weak. But, as Dawn mentioned, sheep are valuable. God's sheep are valuable. Now, I want to say this. We are valuable because of our created image. But in this sense, we're not valuable in ourselves. He doesn't love us because we're valuable. We're valuable because he loves us, every one of us, every person that's ever born. So unlike a dog and unlike a hog, which were unclean animals in the Bible, the sheep is a clean animal, made right. It's a right animal, declared right in the sight of God. So we're like sheep. And because we're like sheep and we're worthwhile, God has given us a protection. The sheep are to be in a sheepfold that are congregate. The Lord loves his sheep, and he's built a way for them to be protected. Now, every now and then, you'll hear one of these Lone Ranger Christians that's gone their own way. They said, well, I love the Lord, but not the church. I love the shepherd, but not the church. You ought to be careful. You're in a very dangerous situation. That is not how God built it. That's not how God intended it. You need to congregate. If you don't have to take my word for it, just look over chapter 5, verse 8. The devil, like a roaring lion, goes around seeking whom he may devour. And if you're out there by yourself, your lonesomeness, you're in a very dangerous situation. So, but they're valuable. But they're sheep. And they said there's a danger out there. There's wolves that would eat the sheep. There are thieves who would steal the sheep. And there are lions that would pounce upon the sheep. I heard about a man in modern times. He was driving along the road and he pulled up next to a big steak truck, was pulling a wagon or a trailer full of animals, sheep. And so the man in the car rolled his window down and he said to the truck driver, you shepherds sure don't move your sheep around like in the old days. And the man said, I'm not a shepherd, I'm a butcher. And the devil goes around seeking whom he may. You are not going to escape the devil's attention if you don't get under the protection God has provided. This matter of church is a serious thing. It's for you. It's for your protection, for your provision. So the devil knows if he can strike the shepherd, the sheep are likely to scatter. It's a dangerous time when the sheepfold does not have a shepherd. I'll get to Acts 20 if we have time. But there's three or four things I want you to notice about the shepherd, and I must touch on this. What is the characteristic of the shepherd, the man that you're looking for? Now, a lot of people have their own idea. I think in the back of your outline, there's a little squib there about what people think the shepherd should be. Well, read that when you get home. First of all, what's the role of the shepherd? What does the Bible say the role of the shepherd is? Verse 2 says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. Verse 1, he talks about elder. Verse 2, he talks about shepherd. Verse 2, he also talks of bishop. Overseer, oversight, that's a verb form of bishop. So we have three functionalities of the elder or the bishop. He's the elder, shepherd, bishop. First of all, let's start with understanding. What are you looking for? Now, it's always plural elders, never singular. Plural elders. One office, three titles. Elder, shepherd, bishop. I hear on the radio, different radio programs, and the pastor or the shepherd or the teacher has titles they have assigned or been assigned to them. They might be called Bishop so-and-so, or they might be called Apostle so-and-so, which is stretching things a bit, if you want to ask me. But nonetheless, sometimes people say to me, brother, what would you have us call you? I said, well, Chuck's fine. No, but shouldn't we call you Reverend? I said, well, no. Psalm 111 says, Reverend and holy is his name. And I'm only that because of Christ by his grace. But really, pastors, if you want to call me a title, pastor is meaningful. And it reflects what I believe God has called me to do. But by the way, my name is Steiner, which no doubt is German. Maybe I hope a little Jewish in there, but it's German. Do you know what Germans call their pastor? German shepherds. Well, that's all right. Just so you don't call me your dog. But you know, a pastor, a shepherd, ought to be something like a dog in the sense you can tell a dog, you can tell your dog anything and he'll wag his tail and not his tongue. There's a confidentiality that goes with the ministry, and that is to be kept between the Lord and the person, and you can tell him anything. So there's the role of the pastor. First of all, he's to be a man of maturity. Let's look at these words. He's called elder. That doesn't necessarily mean old age. It might, but an elder is one who has been appointed by his spiritual gifts that God has given him, by his ministry, by his calling, by his experience. He's to be a spiritual leader, a mature spiritual Christian. Now, that word elder, listen, comes from the word presbyteros. You say, well, so what? What church do you think of when you hear presbyteros? Presbyterian. They take their church name because their church polity, the way they do business, the elders rule. Presbyteros, elder rule. Three Rivers Bible Church is not a Presbyterian church. The elders do not rule. They serve the church. And we need to be reminded of that sometime. And serving the church is what we're called to do by the gifts that God has given us. Now, we'll have different functions, but remember that deacons and elders are not rulers. They're servers. So a pastor is to be a presbyter, one who is spiritually mature, not necessarily old and decrepit. That doesn't rule him out, but nonetheless. Second thing, not only is he to be a man of maturity, but he's to be a man of ministry. He's to shepherd. That is basically the Greek word poimeno has to do with feed or shepherd the flock. So to be a shepherd, listen, we're talking basically here today about the shepherd elder, the elder who's a shepherd, the teaching elder. To be an effective elder, you have to be with the sheep. You have to love the sheep. You have to have your hands on the sheep. You have to look like the sheep. You have to smell like the sheep because you're with the sheep. You cannot shepherd the flock from the church or the barn. Yeah, you got to spend some time in the office getting ready to feed them, but you got to go out and find out what feed they need. All the Word of God is the Word of God, but some of it is directed specifically to what your need is. So, that's his primary goal. He's going to shepherd. In other words, he's got to have a heart for the people. You see, I would have a wonderful time in the ministry if it wasn't for the people. No, that is your ministry, the people. And you love them, warts and all. They're God's flock. So what's the job, the function of the pastor shepherd? This specific elder is to guard the flock. Now let's go to Acts chapter 20. Flip your Bibles back to Acts chapter 20 because I want you to start this and know where this is. Acts chapter 20, he's to guard the flock. What's 28, verse 28 says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." And you ought to underscore that. The Holy Spirit appoints the elders. In this confusing time where you're searching for a pastor, it's not all on you. The Holy Spirit is involved. It is a mystery the way God brings his man to a church that's sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's why we say to you, pray, pray, pray. It is not the elders, the pulpit search committee that's most important. It is you. Because as God matriculates and brings to the elders or the pulpit search committee a man they feel they can present to you, we are looking for you to affirm, is this God's will or not? This is not a denomination where they appoint a pastor from someplace out in Chicago or wherever it might be. This church, Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And the Holy Spirit is the director of this church. And you are important. Because it's through you that we find God's leading as God's Holy Spirit speaks to you and affirms the process or denies it. That happens too. So he'd be a man of ministry. He's the guard of the flock. Let me go back. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know, listen to this now, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. When the shepherd is gone, that's a dangerous time for the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on alert. Be alerted, as the Word of God tells us. So if we go back to our text, then Paul or Peter says, the devil is seeking whom he may devour. So the chief shepherd knows that the devil would like to divide the flock, discourage the flock, devour the flock, lead you astray. That is the Word of God. You are in a very dangerous time. You need to be prayerful, and you need to congregate. This day and age where the church is fractured and does not come together but once on Sunday morning is setting themselves up for the devil's attack. We were made to congregate, in Hebrews says, and so much more as you see the day of his coming return. You need to be together. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This is how God planned the church to work. We need each other, and we need to congregate. That's how he devised it to work. So there are those who will steal the sheep, fleece the sheep, lead them astray. But God says, I have a way to protect and provide for the sheep. It's called the church and a shepherd. So he's the guard, the flock. He's the guide, the flock. That means he's to be a leader. Now you can lead the flock, but you can't drive the flock. He's to be a leader, not a dictator. But he's charged with this matter of leading. Jesus said in John 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. He's the chief shepherd. If he appoints the under-shepherd, the way I know I am to continue in a ministry with any group, are they listening to the Lord through me? If they won't listen, then I might be the wrong under-shepherd. because I've been appointed to lead them. The Lord leads me, leading the flock. That's how it goes. I know them, they follow me. So the under-shepherd, sent by the chief shepherd, is to guard the flock, guide the flock, and grow the flock. That's the idea of feeding them. Jesus said in John 21 to Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now listen. It's not the pastor's job. It's not the shepherd's job to reproduce sheep. Sometimes the church will get that deal. You know what we need? We need to hire a man with a wonderful personality, a pleasing pulpit presence, and one that can draw people and bring people, and our church will start to grow again. That's not how the Bible says you grow a church. You feed the sheep the word, and healthy sheep reproduce. Whew, I hope that hits you instead of going over your head. What we need to do is we need a new method. We need a new man. Then we'll start to... No, that's not how... You may gather a multitude by entertaining of some sort. But like I said, 3,000 people in a stadium does not make a football team. No. You can gather people, but the church grows as sheep reproduce. You need an under-shepherd that leads you and feeds you and teaches you how to grow, how to reproduce. So, the primary role of this pastor, elder, is to feed the sheep. Now, you can't hire a man to do that. You can't hire a man to do that. You don't hire a pastor. You're on your knees before God, and you recognize through the Holy Spirit his calling and his appointing. If you hire a pastor, heaven help you. All you got is a hireling. So, man of maturity, man of mystery, and a man of management, verse 2 says he's to be an episkopos, an overseer. It roots in the word episkopos. What church do you think of? Episcopalian. He's to be a bishop. That doesn't mean he's to sit in some office in New York and move preachers around like a bunch of pawns on a chessboard. Every church is to have an episkopos, that is, an overseer who guides in the affairs and manages the church. Now, hallelujah, this is a plural office, and no one elder will have everything that's needed. That's why we have a plurality of elders. And I can already recognize in your elders which ones are in the area of management and administration, which ones are in the area of shepherding and pastoring. There's a distinction. There's a difference. We need each other. It takes the whole group to do what the Lord wants to have done here. So, all right, let's talk about the responsibilities of this pastor. Wow, it's 10 o'clock. Well, he's supposed to feed. We already got that. He's to have a right ministry. It says shepherd or feed the flock, a right ministry. So that means he's got to be in the book. He's got to study it in order to teach it. I'll just say that quick. That means you have to make sure he has time. I've been doing this a long time. It takes me 20 minutes preparation for every minute in the pulpit. So if I preach 30 minutes, I've been 10 hours in study at least. If I have two sermons, that's 20 hours of study. You got to give him, you got to understand, he doesn't just get it coming out of heaven like a document. He gets in the Word, and the Holy Spirit works through the Word to his own heart and mind and so forth, and takes time. So you got to make sure that that pastor has time undisturbed in the pastor's office or wherever he's going. Sometimes it's better if he goes home and studies in his basement. Anyway, that's another, I can't get all I want to get. He's to do it willingly. He goes on and says, voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain. He's not there just to make a buck. If you're in the ministry to make money, you're in the wrong profession, unless you go to certain denominations. Anyhow, the idea is not so much money as base gain. He's not to merchandise the ministry. You're not the ministry merchandise. You're not supposed to make money off the ministry. Pastors. I don't want to get into this. I need to go on. He needs to have the right manner, verse 3. Not lording over those that are entrusted to your charge. He's not a dictator. He's not Mr. Little Lord, ha-ha, you know. He's just been appointed by gifts and calling to serve God. And I want to mention to you here that Peter, he didn't think he was some kind of elevated elder, some kind of a prince of the church. He said, I want to talk to you fellow elders. He was just one of the fellows that was in that role there. So we bishops have to understand that the flock does not belong to us. It belongs to the chief shepherd. Someday us elders are going to give an account to the chief shepherd. That's what keeps me motivated. Our time is gone. We are praying that God would give you direction as you're searching for your pastor, but that you would not make it a personality contest. That you be guided by God's word and by the Holy Spirit and find God's man, and he'll lead them. Pray for your search committee. Talk to them. Every church I've ever been in, they think that the search committee is not sharing information enough. Well, talk to them. They'll talk to you. You know, just talk to them. We're a family here. You don't have to wait for a board meeting. Talk. Find out what's going on so we can pray about it. Father, thank you for your word. This is your church purchased by your blood, and we belong to you. We are the sheep of your pasture, and the sheep in this particular flock. Bless your work, I pray. Let me close by saying this. Are you one of his sheep? How would you know if you're one of the Lord's sheep? The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. Are you hearing the voice of God? How would you hear the voice? You'd be in God's word. That's how he speaks to you. Are you in his word? Are you one of his sheep? You'll say, yeah, I'm one of his sheep. Okay, great. Are you following him? What do I mean by that? Are you one of his flock? Are you a member of the church? Have you followed him in baptism? Are you walking with the Lord? God appoints you to a place. Acts says, as many as received the word were baptized, and the Lord added to the church. Every born-again believer should be baptized and be a part of a local church under the accountability, watch here, the guidance of a local church. There are no unaffiliated Christians in the New Testament. Ethiopian eunuch, when he got saved and baptized, he went back and started a church. The Lord adds to the church. How would you know if you're one of his sheep? You'd follow him. You'd obey him. Think about those things.